The Palestine Report with Hafez Ibrahim Musa.
Hafsab, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So the big story of the last week, Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh's murder, a PR disaster for Israel as it is forced to alter its narrative on Palestinian responsibility.
I've been following Israeli media reports on this particular incident. Two notable quotes here out of Haaretz. One piece saying that in the court of global opinion, Israel has already lost this particular case. Another piece saying that this is a Hasbara disaster for Israel. But to break this down, what Israel has done here is typical of how it has responded to many other crimes that it has committed against Palestinians in its media battle. The first thing that it would do, sow doubt, even though details were still unclear in those initial stages, they would lose nothing by just trying to sow doubt on the entire incident. Thereafter, they tried to fake empathy, especially since the journalist has American citizenship, tried to say that we are with the family, we are with you in this difficult time, but then simultaneously blame it back on the journalist and blame it back on the Palestinians. So they said she chose to be in a dangerous place, so she should expect such an outcome. The Palestinians are to blame, not the Israelis, because they refused to take place in a part in a joint investigation, which is ironic because Israel has refused to take part in so many international investigations and probes. And lastly, in terms of the textbook response, what the Israelis have done is the way they frame it. So they now introduce the possibility, if we had killed this particular journalist, it's still the Palestinians to blame because they force us to come into the territories and embark on these military adventures, and because of that they ultimately in any case are still responsible. How did this particular strategy play out, and how have we seen the Israeli narrative then evolve over a period of time? What we saw in the immediate aftermath when those pictures emerged and Shireen Abu Akleh was declared killed, they blamed Palestinians, saying that a Palestinian gunman must have shot her. There was crossfire. There was a firefight that was going on. Then you had certain Israeli spokespeople saying that journalists are fair game in this particular battle. Then they blamed the Palestinians, saying that they draw the Israeli forces deep into the West Bank, and therefore any violent incidents are to be blamed on the Palestinians. They went on to say that Palestinians fire very erratically, whereas when the Israelis fire, they do it in an orderly or controlled manner. Some Israeli spokespeople went to the extent of saying that Abu Akleh is responsible for her own death because she is a paid propagandist for Palestinians, and therefore blood is fair game. Now, after all these pompous pronouncements, the Hasbara offensive from the Israelis evolved, and suddenly they started changing tune as international pressure on her killing began to mount. They now introduced the possibility that they may have killed her. They started talking about, the head of the Israeli Central Command. Maybe they might be responsible. We take full responsibility for whatever might have occurred, and we are open to investigations. Then they conducted an internal investigation where they concluded that it's not possible to determine the source of the gunfire. They again said Palestinian gunmen may have been responsible, but now they introduce the possibility that maybe an Israeli soldier fired a few bullets from a jeep using a telescopic scope, and this could be one possibility in the killing of Shireen Abu Akleh. And the latest talking point is perhaps Israel is trying to brush this off, saying that if we killed her, it was a technical or operational error. From the Palestinian point of view, a lot of has been said to debunk the Israeli narrative, saying that a precision shot just below the edge of a metal, her metal helmet, could not have been, you know, some Palestinian gunman mistakenly firing such a precision shot. We have the precedent of how Israel has been fighting Al Jazeera's coverage and Al Jazeera's journalists for a long period of time. The attacks on their journalists, the banning of their journalists, the attack of the media tower in Gaza last year, the wider attacks on Palestinian journalists, the fact that the bullet used was from an M16 rifle, not typically used by Palestinian fighters, the precise nature of this particular shot, the fact that Israeli soldiers were just 150 meters away. Also, the video released by the Israelis saying that a Palestinian gunman was shooting in that direction, it has been debunked. No Palestinian fighters were shooting in that particular direction. There was no active fighting, according to eyewitnesses. Palestinian fighters wouldn't have been in this area because it was a relatively open area, which would be disadvantageous. So all of this debunking the Israeli narrative. But what's clear at this moment in time, Israeli propagandists working overtime. Normally, they could just brush this off, saying that there was some stone throwing or some Molotov cocktails, or as they call it, some rioters, and that's enough to justify the killing of a Palestinian. But in this case, because of Abu Akleh's high profile status, being one of the most well-known Palestinian female journalists in the Palestinian sphere, Israel has been under intense international pressure, and a lot of people are drawing the parallel at this moment in time with Mohammed al-Dorra, his killing in the early 2000s, saying that this killing has had a similar effect. We also have the same Israeli tactics to try and cast doubt on the incident, but in the world of social media, compared to the early 2000s, Israel is not going to get off with this quite easily. To conclude with what Haaretz has said again, this, they said, is a definitive incident that revealed the full ugliness of life against Israel's occupation, and no PR in the world can repair the damage, because there is no narrative that justifies the Israeli police's conduct, both the army killing her and thereafter the attacks on her funeral.
As Palestinians mark 74 years of Nakba, the former Prime Minister Ehud Barak paints a gloomy outlook for the future of Israel.
Yesterday, thousands of Palestinians marked Nakba Day, and marking the events of 1948 when the State of Israel was created and hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were forcibly evicted and ethnically cleansed. Interesting comments about a week ago from the former Israeli Premier Ehud Barak, who expressed concern about the existential challenges that Israel is facing leading up to the 80th anniversary. Yesterday was the 74th anniversary of the State of Israel, but leading up to the 80th anniversary, he told the Israeli Hebrew language newspaper Yedioth Ahronot that Israel could face a doom and gloom scenario coming to the 80th anniversary. And this is what he said. He said, throughout Jewish history, the Jews did not rule for more than 80 years at a time, except in the two kingdoms of David and the Hasmonean dynasty. And in both periods, he said, their disintegration began in the eighth decade. He noted that many regimes, many countries such as the United States and so forth, have experienced the curse of the eighth decade, and that Israel is no exception. And he drew an analogy between the Zionist regime, fascism, Nazism, and communism. According to him, the United States experienced a civil war in the 80s. Israel became a fascist country in the eighth decade. Italy became a fascist country in the eighth decade of its rule. Germany, a Nazi country in the eighth decade, and also the disintegration of the Soviet Union during the eighth decade. of the communist revolution. So this also contrasted or compared with what Benjamin Netanyahu said a while back, that his fear, and he said this 5 years ago, was that Israel might not reach 100 years of age. And put together, there have been a number of these kind of predictions from Israelis, Israeli leaders, Israeli thinkers, which point to a kind of fragility. Also, they use this to try and obviously put a sense of pressure on Western allies to assist Israel more, which brings us back again to what we discussed first, and that was the killing of Shirin Abu Akleh and the sense of fragility that Israel faces as it marks 74 years of existence, despite all the military power. A Palestinian by the name of Nouran Hamdan tweets that a state threatened by the mere presence of Palestinian flags, by the collective grief of a people, by a woman in a life and in a death, a state operating purely on fear and weakness, despite its weaponry and walls, is not a state that will last. And Nouran Hamdan says that is the reality.
Hafiz, as always, shukran for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.